You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, we're talking about Chicharito. Hey, Chicharito. Hey, Chicharito. We're excited to talk about the new LA Galaxy designated player. An incredible trade happening in Major League Soccer. Julian Gressel leaving. We'll talk about that. And we'll also discuss a couple other things.
That's right. And in the second segment, we talked to Elise LaHue, the GM of Sky Blue FC. Complete turnaround for that club in only a year's time. So much exciting stuff for happening around the club. So many big trades at the NWSL draft. And you need to find out exactly how all that happened, because we ask her how all that happened. That and more on today's episode of the Cooligans.
Hey guys, Elise LaHue, general manager with Sky Blue FC, and I got that bag with the Cooligans.
Hey. Yeah, baby.
Whoa!
I got nothing.
He's out of gas, folks.
Car has sputtered to a stop.
Shoot the old dog. He's got no more barks.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm nervous that if I lose my voice, I'll have no career. Alexis Guerrero's.
I mean, I'm not nervous because it'll give me some peace of mind. Finally.
And I'm going to have to make myself into a piece of ass. That's all I got left, mama.
Why are you telling your mama about your career choices? Wow. Yes, welcome to the show. We are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen.
You're damn right.
And it's also what, Alexis?
The raspiest. It's the gulliest.
Okay.
You already know what it is.
Thank you, my co-host, Taya Leone.
That's right.
Huge fan. So, yes, welcome to the show, everybody.
Why did our voice become raspy?
Why did our voice?
When?
When?
Yeah.
I don't know. Puberty? I don't know. What to tell you.
Good answer. We'll move on.
Probably in Baltimore, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Yeah.
But
did she do 35 interviews? Because we did.
So welcome to the show. There's a million things to discuss. Right. Yeah. Like even before, after the MLS playoffs were done, MLS Cup was awarded. We were heading into the offseason, and we were like, everybody worries, what is there going to be to talk about?
Guy, do you guys take a break? No, we don't.
No,
we go
not.
The way through. What do you guys talk about? And we're always like, trust us.
Yeah.
There's enough.
The football producers were like, look, I'm kind of worried. The news cycle seems to be a little bit slow.
If I were you, I would stock up on ibuprofen and some energy drinks. Because offseason in MLS is wildly.
Yes, it's incredibly entertaining, and we'll get to the Chicharito announcement. We'll get to the Julian Gressel announcement, which that was a huge one. I did not. That was this morning. I'm just like, excuse me.
Yeah,
you know,
excuse me. He went back in time. 21st
Hold
learning
on,
language.
Well, call con take it easy, okay?
Okay. Esto es mucho coño.
Tranquilo, señores.
Tranquilizzi. Put the two together.
Because there's too much going on in American soccer, but we have to talk about our time in Baltimore.
If U.S. soccer or American soccer was your friend, you'd be like, yo, you're doing too much. You need to take it down a notch.
Is U.S. soccer anyone's friend?
Do they want us to be their friends? Probably not.
We're trying our best. Anyway, but we were in Baltimore for the United Soccer Coaches Convention.
That's right.
This is our third year going, our second time.
And I'm happy to announce just as many dad jeans as there have been in the last 2 years.
No, that is the uniform for the American soccer coach.
You know, when I'm like straight fit, or boot cut. Why even sell these? Who's buying them? U.S. soccer coaches, that's who. Don't you dare get those off the shelves. I want 32% of all the backs of my sneakers covered.
So we did have a good time there. But before we continue, we do have a box here that we should open.
What a box, by the way. It's got an advertisement for a movie on there, which we can't talk about.
Okay.
Alexis, just wanted to send along a little gift from our branch to you. Thank you for your support of the greatest team in the world, Arsenal. Ha ha, shouts to you. Enjoy the gifts and stay gully. I'm not going to say who it's from. It's from Corey, branch manager of the Minneapolis St. Paul Arsenal Supporters Group and the North Elite. And there's a little note for you.
Okay, and says, sorry, Christian, I would have sent something for you as well, but you support the wrong club.
Yeah,
okay.
your team is trash, B. Here, hold stickers of a team that's winning.
Look at that. I'm being trolled with a handwritten note. It hurts.
Oh, I dropped a pin, and I'm not going to pick it up because these jeans are going to burst. But look at this. Oh, this is dope right here.
Oh, really cool. All right, thanks, wow, Corey.
How do these like local affiliates got such nice merch? Wow, look at this scarf.
Amazing.
Hold this up on one end.
Okay.
Look at you. Do something. You look like a co-rack. Act like one.
Okay. Is this all right? First Corey, now you? Yeah. Please, tone it down.
Everybody gets it. Look at this. Arsenal Twin Cities. All right. I know what I'm wearing next time I go. Look at this.
All right. You look good. All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, shouts to you, St. Paul/Minnesota Gooners, MSP Gooners.
So we should also mention while we were in Baltimore, we got to talk to a bunch of cool people. Who are some of the notable figures? We spoke to Peter Wilt.
If you don't know the name,
he was one of the guys that helped start up Forward Madison. We spoke to Sean Wright Phillips.
He won a championship with Chicago Fire.
That's right.
Year.
Yeah, he's involved in very heavily involved in the creation of Major League Soccer and just American soccer in general. He's working with USL now.
Yeah, Sean Wright Phillips.
You may have heard of. He's one of the most famous families
of the London. Wright Phillips.
Yes, brother of Bradley, son of Ian. It sounds just like a Game of Thrones character.
He's from the house of Wright Phillips.
We spoke to Emily Olsen of SiriusXMFC, also right. from Pro Soccer USA. Incredible. We had a great time talking to a bunch of people.
Of other podcasts. It was awesome. We inspired a 14-year-old girl to get into podcasting. So I'm sorry to her family.
A young girl. I think she was like 13 or 12. I don't remember exactly
it
her
was
age.
Beautiful game. She was 14.
Okay. It was just like we were on podcast row and we're like amongst all these adult soccer nerds, right? And then it's just a child also on podcast row.
Child soccer nerd. No, I don't know. She's a sweetheart. She apparently she had like a bad coaching situation and like a ref yelled at her and she said, "Oh, the game has gotten too negative already, jaded at 14 years old." I remember when I was a kid, 3 years prior, that she decided to start a podcast to be more positive.
Yeah.
And because of that, she did not ask us to be on the show.
No, she doesn't need that kind of cynicism on her show.
You want to know what life is like?
Well, okay, we've been in this podcast game for a few years, young lady.
They're going to act like they like you, but trust me, they do not like you. They remember everything you've ever said.
She leaves the convention smoking.
She's smoking a cigar.
She's just like, wow, I didn't know these 3 days would change me completely.
Yeah. Dad, it ain't worth going home. You go ahead. I'll make my life here in Baltimore.
And I got to give a shout out because while we were at the convention, we went to a party, the rap party, basically for the convention. And I got this shirt that you see right over here. It says Con Todo. Which is
how you order a taco.
That is correct. I actually don't even know why it's specifically in reference to.
You order a taco.
I'm going to assume it's a taco related shirt.
Yeah.
This is from Redwood City, JASA. I don't know how it is how to pronounce it. So basically it's an independent adult soccer training academy. And I met the dude. We were at this party and I see the shirt on him. And I said, "Hey, man, this is a great shirt. I would love to buy that shirt. Where can I get it?" He's like, "Oh, we don't really sell it." I'm like, "Oh, cool. Is there any way I can get one? I'm happy to give you money or anything." He's like, "Oh, I don't know." And he's like, you want this one? The shirt he's wearing. And I'm like, "Sure, if you don't mind," or whatever. He's like, "You want to trade shirts? This is an XL shirt. I'm medium." I'm like, "No, it's not going to really work
well."
It
would have been much funnier.
So he's like, "All right, here, just take my shirt." He just gives me his shirt in the middle of a party.
He wasn't wearing an undershirt.
No undershirt.
A hairy dude.
Hairy dude.
Sweaty. Hairy dude. Gave me the shirt on his back.
Yes.
You're doing laundry for the guy. So you're doing.
I got to send it back to Redwood City, California. Hasa. Yeah. But thank you for the shirt. And yeah, we met a lot of people who were a lot of coaches who listened to the show.
Which is wild.
It's so cool.
Because I'm like, you're here to take care of the children, the future. And we're an influence.
We're here to destroy those children.
Oh, no.
It seems counterproductive. And while we were also there, the ISC, their conference happened at the same time as the convention.
Right.
So just like last year, we got to do stand up for them. And we also did a fun little MLS roast.
We decided to roast some of the clubs.
Yeah. And it was incredible. Super fun. It was a rowdy time, which now we know this is something we have to do again.
Oh, absolutely.
So
and we've got to go twice as hard.
So here's a clip.
A little taste.
Yeah.
And we'll, a moose boosh, if
so
you will.
Take a look at this, and we'll be back after you see this.
Is FC Cincinnati here?
Wow. Okay.
Wow, Alexis is impressed. That's what showed up.
Yeah, did FC Cincinnati show up? Oh, no, wait. That was a quote from every team playing FC Cincinnati last year.
Okay, welcome to ISC, gentlemen.
Hey.
Is Chicago Fire here?
Ooh.
Yeah. I can't recognize you. You look a little different.
Some of y'all got plastic surgery at Microsoft Paint.
Okay. All right. Wasn't that fun?
Oh, my God. That's just everybody gets it. We've said it before. We say it again.
So,
and even though you only saw a clip of two.
Yeah.
Trust me. Everybody got it.
We will be. If you want to see the full one, we'll be giving it to our Gully Squad members. So
yeah, join Gully Squad, bro.
And if you want to see the whole thing, it's super, super fun. So trust me. All right. So let's start real quick with a couple reviews that we got on.
Because we show love to people, show love to us.
Exactly. That is the rule. That's rule number.
That's right.
That's rule number two of Cooligans.
Right. When a fan would come up to us in Baltimore, say, "Yo, I love you guys." I would say, "Hey, I love you." I would just stare at them when I'm blinking.
Okay, cool. Yeah. We left Baltimore with a couple restraining orders.
Yeah. Also, for some reason, a couple less followers.
So we want to give a shout out. Thank you to Philamonster on iTunes. So helping us get, 700 for the quest for 700.
That's
reviews.
Right. You know who Philly is, right? Philamonster.
Who?
That's the dude from Defenders of the Bank.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I was not aware.
It was from Queens.
All right. Sweet. So he says, favorite soccer podcast, 5 stars. It says, as a soccer podcaster, I look up to Alexis and Christian. Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Big mistake. Sorry about that. What they have done in 5 short years is awesome. Their show is by far my favorite soccer podcast. They are knowledgeable, funny, and very entertaining. Always look forward to new episodes. Keep up the good work, my friends. FYI, Danny's Pizza on Lefferts is better than fine, LOL. Okay, all right. Look,
I said it's fine because I was trying to be nice, right? Because I'm in your presence. Okay.
Alexis Caesar has already determined the fate of Danny's Pizza.
The sauce is too sweet. It says it on the shirt: sweet sauce, home of the sweet sauce. Just because Action Bronson likes it doesn't mean it's good. Okay. The guy's got a problem.
Okay. All right. Next up, we have another review, right?
That's right. Danny's just trying. No, I'm joking. All right. This one is the funniest soccer show I've ever listened to, period.
Ooh.
Right? That's the subject. So you know he's going to bring heat in the rest of it. 5 stars or else we don't read it. And this is by MIG9000. Okay. Great album he dropped in the 90s. It's even better than the Football Ramble.
Okay.
Wow.
Shots are being fired.
Wow.
Okay.
Smoke is traveling across the pond.
Get the gat.
Because
it's getting real right now.
You see these Brits are running to their sailboats to defend the island.
Thank you for, yeah, we love the Football Ramble.
Those are the homies,
great,
Football
great
Ramble.
Great dudes. We saw them live when they were here in New York.
That's right.
But look, the world is speaking.
Also, you're welcome to be mentioned amongst the greats. You know? If someone said you're faster than Usain Bolt, that's still pretty fast for Usain Bolt.
Okay, we are blessing you with the compliment.
Yeah, you're welcome for being second to us.
So thank you for that. So make sure to go on Apple Podcasts and leave a review or on whatever podcast platform you use. Anyway, okay, so let's get to the big noticias.
Here it is.
Okay, because
the MLS is becoming a TV in telenovela.
I love it. All right, because El Chicharito is finally Major League Soccer. It's been announced.
This is it.
As we're taping this, there will be a formal presentation by the LA Galaxy. But that's it.
Well, he comes out of a burrito. He just punches his way out of a burrito.
Interesting move.
Damn.
But you gotta like, it's Chicharito con todo.
Con todo. That's why we put this up. That's why he's wearing that. And no one told me.
No, this is unreal. I mean, we were talking about it last week because it was heavily rumored. And now he's finally here. They put out a LA Galaxy put out like the welcome video, and they did the whole thing. It was a dope.
Wasn't that newspaper kind of leaked it all first though, right?
I mean, I'm sure that was very much planned. They had all the photos.
Yeah, but they had him in like the new kit. They haven't even released the kit. What's going on with MLS this year?
Yeah, they do. They got everything sort of like backwards. Yeah, they're doing everything.
Everybody's stressed. Everyone's running around.
They're doing all these big announcements. There's no CBA in place. There might not be any games.
Yeah, Chicharito might be getting an extended vacation.
So, just incredible. I'm excited. We were just the rumors on their own were enough to get people like in an uproar. But this is just great. I'm excited to see him play.
I wonder how this is affecting the season tickets.
LA Galaxy usually pretty much sells out every game, right? Or something close to it.
Close. I mean, they have a really good fan base. But
yeah,
I'm wondering if this is like, you know.
I mean, those away games. I think it's going to be a close to, if not bigger, effect of Zlatan. When Zlatan went on, the away games for LA Galaxy are going to be wild.
This is way bigger. Yeah. And I got to be honest. Chicharito isn't going to pay for a meal in Los Angeles. The city is 50% Mexican.
They're going to make a law making it illegal to charge Chicharito for meat food.
If someone, I dare like the white person at the counter to hand Chicharito a receipt and just someone smacks him from the back, he just gets stomped out. Put some respect on that man's name. And I say, con todo.
Get it right. You know his order.
Take all the guacamole. So sorry.
incredible. Yeah. I think he's gonna do very, very well. Those games going to Chicago, going like, you know,
Chicago's gonna be lit.
Soldier Field.
It's sold out.
LA Galaxy. I don't know if they play this year in Chicago. I hope they do. But that game will be sold out. Soldier Field.
I feel like MLS is gonna switch things around.
You're gonna have to go play in Vancouver.
Yeah, Minnesota. You're playing in Chicago now. I don't know what to tell you.
So incredible. So I'm excited about that. But then on top of that, I was excited about the Chicharito news. But then another bombshell, in Major League Soccer. Julian Gressel traded to DC United.
What is going on?
This is a
beloved.
I mean, the fans absolutely loved him. He was very vocal and honest about wanting to realistically get paid more money. Right. He's definitely earned a raise.
Right.
And now we know, according to Stephen Goff I forgot what publication he writes for. But Stephen Goff,
Soccer Insider, though, I think he writes for the Post. No,
Washington Times. I could be wrong. We'll confirm.
Who cares?
Anyway,
you know who he is.
Anyway, so.
He got traded for cash.
Yeah, for Tam. I guess Tam and Gam. But he's gonna get a raise. He's gonna be paid. He goes from $114,000 a season to roughly $700,000 plus incentives.
What a bump.
Good raise. I understand why you would leave.
I'd go anywhere you wanted for that kind of change.
Yes, friend of the show, man. We our first live show outside of New York City.
That's right.
Was with Julian Gressel. And
you're welcome. All right,
we got you this money,
bro. Now I'm gonna pitch some app ideas now that you got this money. All right, Jules.
All right, Julian Shark Tank Gressel.
I'm sorry, I passed. Oh.
How dare you? No, this is look. If you follow the hashtag, you know, ATLUTD, you will see a lot of tears, a lot of genuine disappointment and sadness.
Atlanta fans are wild furious. They weren't this furious when what's his name,
Yamil Asad?
Yamil Asad, they were upset.
LGP.
But when Darlington Abbey, everyone was like, ah, please.
Yeah, even Darlington Abbey never. I mean, he wasn't a year one guy, right?
No. So
and there were also like issues in the beginning
also,
of the season.
Julian Gressel was like a draft pick, and he like built himself up to be the superstar. They say you can't get none in the draft. I've said you can't get none in the draft. By the way, let's make it clear. I'd be like, why are we even doing his draft thing? But look at this. I mean, he turned himself into a $700,000. And I know. The soccer players everywhere else in the world are like, that's it?
Yeah, yeah.
I know, but yo, in MLS, 700K?
Yeah, he came in the same year as Jack Harrison, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken. And look, you know, some of these draft picks getting paid, you know, making huge moves. So Julian Gressel gets reunited with Yamil Asad.
That's right.
Over at DC United. And I think this one move in itself, Edison Flores, Yamil Asad, Julian Gressel,
DC's
Ola Kamara. Yeah. DC United is going to be a real threat. I mean, I don't know if they can necessarily win the East, but arguably they're in like top three seeds, right? Right.
They also made Atlanta weaker.
Yeah, this is a weird move, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people are questioning Carlos Bocanegra's decision and Darren Eales' decision to let Julian
Gressel
go.
Because whatever money you got for him, you're going to have to spend that much to get a good player that plays to his level.
Yeah, I hope it works out.
Good luck, Brooks Lennon. You're going to need that.
A lot of pressure on your shoulders. So, okay.
So, look, we don't get a chance to talk about the Ecuadorian League all that often.
It's a shame. And I've told you for years we should pivot to Ecuadorian soccer a little bit more.
A little bit more. And you know what? You were right. But I was waiting for something to bubble
yes.
to the tippity top of the news. And we got it. Okay.
We are here. Ecuador has arrived.
What up, Ecuador? We're paying attention.
You got it. Okay, yes, you piqued our interest.
Because who knew it was bring a side piece to the game day.
Yes, interesting approach by Barcelona SC.
The video's playing, so you're watching it.
Yes.
The fans were like, you know what? The wife isn't into soccer. So let me bring her cousin.
If you don't know, if you haven't seen this video, this is a guy who got caught on the Jumbotron, basically showing a little bit of affection to a lady that he was with. As soon as he saw himself on the screen, he...
Making out with her.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't call that making out. I don't know. That's not, to me, that's a kiss on the cheek's not first base necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, look, you think his wife is like, well, it wasn't me. He didn't show tongue. He didn't give her tongue. No, that dude...
Okay, he clearly loves me.
Yeah. All the other things that guy owns besides what he's wearing, it was on the lawn when he got home.
It's just the reaction, the moment. As soon as he sees himself on the Jumbotron, he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, why you put the camera on me? No, honey, what you didn't see is on the Jumbotron, it's a kiss somebody who you're not married to, fam. And, you know, like, who am I to ruin a fun thing for the fans?
And I think we learned because the kiss cam in general has become a thing where people feel like it's an uncomfortable thing in public, you know, in a public game or whatever. Because sometimes it's like the common joke, which was like mildly homophobic, right? Remember, it used to be
two guys, they would
show a bunch of men and women, and then it would be two dudes,
right?
And then it'd be a ha ha, we're laughing.
We're not gonna kiss, not again anymore. You know,
but
we're not drinking bourbon.
I think the camera operators out in Ecuador are like,
hot.
Like, okay, let's get some blackmail footage.
yeah. Right? Who could we take down? And this happens a lot because I don't think they show commercials in a lot of these countries. Because when I watch. Like when I'll watch, like obviously using my football TV subscription, when I watch the Uruguayan league,
okay.
Like in the moments where they're not playing, They're just, the camera's just on a girl dancing in the crowd.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Or a guy eating a sandwich, you know? It's like on anything. So you should know that coming in. If you got your side piece, you'd be like, I'm sorry they wouldn't let us sit next to each other just so you don't make it too hot. You know what I mean? But no, my man's got his arm around her. He's kissing her. And the problem is that as soon as he sees it, he does the elbows on knees. Like, no, I was
What you talking about? This is a business meeting. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I was just negotiating. I was using some hard negotiating skills.
Okay, honey, this is a florist who, as she was telling me about all these new roses that I could purchase for you, honey.
And for you, for the wedding. Did you know we're going to get remarried?
And here I am. I was trying to surprise you.
Right, here I am trying to get us a savings. You know, how you think her husband feels? Don't even worry about me, babe. My husband,
we got to think about their love.
You know what I mean? Maybe we should go over. Now you all go over by myself.
This immediately went viral.
And then there's an article.
Yes.
So everyone assumed this guy was married and cheating on his wife. Turns out 100%. 100%. Internet undefeated.
Sometimes jumping to conclusions is absolutely appropriate.
Hopscotch, baby. You landed right on it, buddy. You didn't have to jump too far.
Look, what are you going to do, man? I feel bad for everybody involved, right? But it's just like, I don't know. Cheating 101 has to be, don't bring a girl to a very public event like this.
And this guy almost ruined our friend DeLoopers 30 for 30 for 30. Because this guy went 30 for 30 for 30.
Yes, he's out for a different journey, a different challenge.
DeLuper's like, here I am picking out all these costumes, dancing, when all I had to do was make out with someone I'm not married to.
Yeah, and it's unfair, right? Because DeLuper's doing a positive thing for the society and the community.
Right.
And this dude gets more views by doing something terrible.
Right. That's what, DeLuper, just make out with someone. And then as soon as the camera switches, you pretend that's not her. You know what I mean? Just, nope, business meeting.
So incredible. Hopefully everything works out.
Yeah, and also in the future, if the kiss cam goes on just two dudes, just make out full tongue and make that homophobic cameraman uncomfortable. Do it for the culture.
Exactly. So we should also talk about some serious soccer news as well, because Toronto FC, they had some big development. Their midfielder Michael Bradley will be getting surgery. He had an ankle injury that he will be out now, I believe, 4 months. That's the expected amount.
He doesn't come back till June.
Yes, so he's going to be out for a while. He got injured during.
Well, he must have gotten in training, right?
No,
last few days.
No, he got injured in the Major League Soccer Cup, which was 2 months ago.
So MLS World Cup in Seattle.
So he got injured 2 months ago. Getting surgery now. So instead of being just out about 2 months, he will now be out four. So he missed a lot of the season.
What is the reasoning behind the 2 month gap? My man went on vacation on this injury.
Yeah. I remember even at the game, it was right after the game, it was already reported that he had an ankle injury.
Right.
So you would have thought something would have happened. I assume that Toronto FC medical staff were assuming it would either get better on its own.
It said that they tried to rehabilitate it with that invasive surgery and that failed. He's in New York getting the surgery. You want to just go down there, get one of these cameras, go mobile?
Hey, you want to break HIPAA compliance and just bust in the door?
Yeah, he's doing it today. So what is it? What, there's four major hospitals? I could probably guess which one he's doing it at. I could call my wife and find out if she knows. I'm sure she'll lose her job if she tells me.
Okay, yeah, just make it.
So whatever, we live on the street.
Remove the income that you desperately need.
Yeah. 100%. And the health insurance.
So, also Jozy Altidore made very public comments saying that he felt Toronto FC mishandled this situation because he wants his teammate back, the captain of the team.
Also, who wants to have one of your best players, a DP even, have half the season off, essentially?
Yeah, and to be, and when this could have probably been avoided. I don't know what exactly the medical approach was. We don't know, but we know that people are not happy with the decisions that they eventually made.
Toronto FC treated Michael Bradley the way I treat the garbage when D's like, you're going to take it now? I'm like, I'll do it. I'll do it. Relax.
This ain't gonna be fine.
Recycling. We got one box. Who cares?
Okay. The season just ended. What, are you gonna make me do work
next week? Who cares?
I'm supposed to take off. We have to talk about another a story that was kind of interesting. Vincent Kompany, formerly of Manchester City, obviously.
Manchester City legend.
Belgian national team. Captain for Man City for a long time. Scored that ridiculous goal that basically won them the Premier League. That kept Liverpool off. Remember that? Yeah. That I think he only scored one goal last season. One or two, whatever. But anyway, you've heard of Vincent Kompany, I promise.
I sure hope so.
Currently he's playing for Anderlecht in Belgium.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, that's his childhood club.
I don't know. I assume so, because he's a player manager.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's interesting, right? Because this is, I believe, what Wayne Rooney will be doing for Derby County.
He is already there.
Yeah. So they were recently playing against Club Brugge.
Right.
And goalkeeper for Club Brugge is Simon Mignolet.
Which everybody remembers from the Premier League.
From Liverpool. He was there for a long time. And there was flares thrown. So the Anderlecht fans, I guess, were not happy with Simon Mignolet for whatever reason.
It was like an exploding flare. Some people called it a firecracker. I guess it's not like the traditional American firecracker.
I call it a pipe bomb because I want to speculate.
We're now in code orange.
Okay, no. But they threw a flare and it did combust to some degree, right?
It popped.
So right. he got a little concerned about it, obviously.
I mean, yeah, someone tells you like, yo, we got firecrackers, we're throwing exploding stuff at you. It's not going to make it easy for you to do your job with your back turned to those people.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like a trust fall, but the people behind you are holding pitchforks and fire. So the cool thing that happened is that Vincent Kompany actually, even though this was the opposing goalkeeper,
right,
he went up to the supporters and did a very, he was very, passionate and told them, he gave him the finger, wagged the finger.
He chastised them.
He said, don't do this. And you can't hear it, but you see, if you can read his lips, he is saying, this is my friend. This is my friend. He kept saying, this is my friend. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. And again, it's just a thing you would hope to see across all of football, right?
Vincent Kompany is one of those people. He like exemplifies this type of character.
Yeah.
You know, his whole career, he's been the guy who would stand up and do the right thing. If someone's throwing firecrackers, I'd be like, yo, homie, you on your own, dog. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, because...
Get him, guys!
As you can see, it is currently a war zone, all
right? Yeah. I feel like I've kind of lost control here, and maybe me wagging my finger would create more of a target than it really would sort of alleviate the situation.
So just incredible. But look, I think this is a thing...
It's so weird to be like, this is my friend. How about he's a human? They throw it at somebody else, like, I've never liked that guy.
I get it. I told
you. You're good.
Yes. Throw flares at my enemies. Yeah. We good. This approach with, we've seen it for a lot, especially in the last couple of months, of fans either throwing things, obviously either racism and also like throwing drinks or whatever. And to see a player really not only just say like, hey, don't do that to the fans,
right,
but like, hold the dude and be like, yo, this is my man's.
Yeah.
Do not do this.
I ride with this dude.
Yeah. So obviously they're teammates playing for the Belgian team and stuff like that. So they have a lot of history. It's just like you love to see it from Vincent Kompany.
Upset about with Simon Mignolet?
I don't know. I don't know what he did. There's nothing.
Whatever it is, Simon Mignolet, let it go.
Okay. All right. We could have avoided that moment, but we didn't.
No, we didn't. Step right into it. Much like a firecracker being thrown.
The other thing I wanted to talk about real quick is just a couple quick signings that were made in Major League Soccer.
That's right. DC United has just traded for your puppy if you're an Atlanta fan. So everything you love is going to DC.
No, Edison Flores, a Peruvian national.
That's right.
And then also Columbus.
Did you see the video they did for him? We're not going to put it up because we didn't submit it. I don't know if we're allowed to, but
no.
You didn't see the announcement video?
I did see the video. They
took him to a Peruvian restaurant.
Yeah, which is cool.
It's kind of dope, but it's also at the same time, like, we could have done this at like a yacht, you know?
You could have ordered it to go and just done it on a yacht.
We could have done this, I don't know, at the penthouse.
No, right? I love it. Look, I think DC United is definitely making a bigger effort to connect with their fans.
Especially the Latin community. The Latin community is already huge.
Exactly. And the video was in Spanish. So, you know, obviously subtitled and all that stuff. It's great. I think more MLS teams should make that investment into their Spanish speaking community.
Especially when that accounts for a large percentage of your fan base, especially your customers that are paying.
Sure. Yeah, that's right, Alexis. Yeah. They have to pay to go to games.
Do you? Listen, I'm a big fan of, players that are, sort of wondering what they're going to do when they retire. You know what I mean? I'm one of those dudes like, oh, you think they're going to go into coaching, right? Like here, Vincent Kompany is already player coach, right?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? I was going to say Alessandrini. That's not what I meant. Antoine Griezmann.
Okay.
Antoine Griezmann.
You sound like you are about to sell some life insurance or something.
Yeah. What are you going to do with the rest of your life?
Okay.
What's going to happen to your kids?
You're currently at your peak. You're doing your best. Yeah. You probably don't have anything else to think about besides the game. But you know what?
What's going
to
happen later? What happens if this gun that I brought with me shoots you in the knee? Right? I feel like you're going to buy this insurance.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Tons of packages that you are absolutely perfect for your situation.
Well, you're shaking a lot, but other than that, I feel like you should look at
how
some of
this convenient knee insurance.
I wrote it up myself. No, I was talking about Antoine Griezmann.
Yeah, this is new. This is kind of cool.
It's kind of dope. He's starting his own esports team.
Yeah.
So, or what he's calling a Grease sports team.
A Greasy, I think. I think it's Greasy
Sports.
Greasy Sports. It sounds just so.
Sounds like the one I would start.
Greasy. Yeah, you see right there.
A little cute little penguin.
So he's starting an E-League. So it's going to be the team, and they'll play in several different games. You know, obviously, like FIFA.
FIFA's got to be in it.
Fortnite. Yeah. You imagine like Call of Duty and things like that.
This is interesting. I've never heard of a player. I've heard of players becoming somewhat gamers, but I've never heard of one being like, I'm going to get my own squad together.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, clearly the there's money in this, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't get involved because
there's tons of money. These people are filling out stadiums.
Imagine filling out a roster of gamers, you know, like what? Obviously, you look at their stats, right? But it's just the level of commitment, like, you know, you're not in your mom's basement enough.
Yeah.
Whoa. I don't know. I don't think you really want this.
Listen, I spoke to your internet service provider and they say you ain't really hitting the numbers you used to.
Okay.
Right. You're wait, right. The bandwidth.
The bandwidth a little weak.
A little weak ain't what it needs to be.
So,
it just so happens I brought this gun. So stupid.
So I'm interested in what this is going to like his involvement necessarily. But obviously he's a footballer for Barcelona.
Well, also his brother and him are starting this. So is this him giving his brother a job?
Okay, maybe.
Is it one of those things like, all right, look, if you're not going to just stop spending my money playing video games, let's just find a way to make this work for me. Or this is a way to really work with his brother.
Yeah, maybe. Because look,
Griezmann is a fan of the video games.
Exactly. And
also a fan of blackface, which we're like, don't do that anymore. Imagine him and his brother start a minstrel show. We'd be like, everybody's upset at you.
Why are the gamers in blackface? We don't need it. It's not Halloween.
None of this is necessary.
If you don't know. This is another thing.
Antoine
Griezmann for Halloween one time dressed up as a Harlem Globetrotter in blackface.
Went all the way.
You could have stopped. There's white Globetrotters.
You could have just put the jersey on.
You know, he had an afro, blackface, wild.
He went the whole nine. And then people were like, yo, you shouldn't do this. And he's like, why? I wanted to dress up like a Harlem Globetrotter.
Yeah.
Harlem ain't even like that no more.
I don't know.
Stay with the blonde hair. It's closer to what Harlem is like right now anyway.
So, I'm interested because a lot of players get a lot of, a lot of criticism for playing a lot of video games because they feel like the coaches feel like they're not focusing on actual, playing soccer.
Remember my idea, right? Which was to force them to play FIFA in their position as themselves.
Yeah. No. So you know what? I actually just read an article that said,
this is the one I wrote about how genius,
that players that spend time on their phone or playing FIFA before games make poorer decisions when they're actually playing. So this kind of suggests that this is not a good idea.
Okay. I don't. Well, who ran the study? Is it the book lobby? Huh? That's what I think.
Yeah, maybe. But you know,
is it the board game lobby?
They're making a comeback,
right? The playing card lobby. They're like, we got Magic all tied up. Now we need to get the deck of cards.
Your
everywhere.
Stats would be great if you just play Hungry Hungry Hippos before a game.
Yo, what you doing? The game of life. Think about the whole thing.
So, Moussa. No, who is it? Dembele that plays on. Is it Moussa Dembele on Barcelona? Moussa Dembele. There's a lot of Moussa Dembele that are.
There's also a lot of Dembele's.
Yes, he plays on Barcelona.
Whoever the first Dembele was getting it in. All over the world too.
So he's also been criticized a lot because he gets injured often, and he also plays a lot of video games. So that's been like another thing. And now Antoine Griezmann is starting a whole E-League. So I want to see if the Barcelona coaches come with the same energy towards Antoine Griezmann.
Right. Well, he's making it legit. You know, he's taking it to the next level. He's like, no, I'm not being lazy. I got an LLC. Everybody
okay,
relax.
Not just you know, hitting all the controllers and stuff like that. It's just a business venture.
Yeah. I don't know. In fact, get out of my conference room right now.
Okay, schedule a meeting like everybody else.
And also, I told you not allowed to be in here unless you're in blackface.
I make the rules.
Welcome to Greasy Incorporated.
We have to talk about Gio Reyna. Because he finally made his debut for Borussia Dortmund.
With the first team. Like, this is official.
It's huge. So, if you don't know Gio Reyna, he is a U.S. youth international. Left the NYCFC Academy, joined Borussia Dortmund, and it was lighting it up at the U-20s with Dortmund.
He was captain of NYCFC's Academy, was he not?
I don't know.
I believe he was.
Okay. So
he's a
U-20 captain. Yeah. Okay, cool. So, but he's he finally got his debut in the same game that Erling Haaland also gets his debuts, also get a hat trick,
which is like, yo, like let my man live a little bit. You flex it too hard, dog.
Yeah, huge. I mean, this is
what makes this huge is that NYCFC, I don't think, received anything for the transfer.
No, because they didn't transfer him. He just left the academy.
He left the academy and then signed with Borussia Dortmund, and now he's already starting. Now I know Dortmund allows like kids to play at an earlier age. That's like their thing. They like letting some of the youth players play early, but I think now we're at the point where like, all right, the biggest names and the biggest talent that we have in the academies in America are choosing to leave to get a better opportunity.
Yeah.
And that money's not going back.
Yeah. And if not every player has this kind of opportunity to go to Europe. And
not
actually,
his dad is a GM and VP. I think now he's with Austin.
Well, it's not just that. It's because Claudio Reyna has a passport from, I believe, Portugal or somewhere. He has a passport, an EU passport.
Yeah.
Obviously, and he could pass on citizenship to his son, and that's why he ends up making the easy move. American kids that don't have that connection to Europe can't easily make that move.
Right.
But it's good that Gio Reyna took the chance and is also thriving there, right? To get the opportunity.
I mean, thriving is another word. He just got there not that long ago.
Yeah,
but here he is.
Yeah. So now it really puts into question is he going to get a senior call up for the U.S. men's national team? If you're playing for Borussia Dortmund and whether even on the bench, let's say he gets a couple starts.
If you make the 18.
Yeah. You're now it's like, all right, we got to start getting this kid.
He's clearly not going to get the January call up because that's a different type of camp.
Correct. And it's almost February as well.
Yeah.
So,
but you know what I mean? Like he's not going to get that call up. You know what I mean? He's going to get.
Correct.
Like,
but how about World Cup qualifiers, which will begin next year?
Let's go.
You think Gio Reyna is a part of that?
What position do you think he'd play with the men's national team?
He's probably going to be on the wing.
Right.
When we were talking to Ivan Skolarsep about it, this is what we were rumoring, right? Like, oh, is it possible this is going to happen this quickly? But now that he's starting, he helped set up Erling Haaland on one of the goals. He's looking incredibly comfortable in the Bundesliga.
So good.
And
the Bundesliga is a very high technical skill league. There's a bit more parity in that league than there are in others.
Sure.
It's not like, you know, when you play with Real Madrid, you get a couple weeks off because you're playing some teams that aren't that great. That doesn't happen very often in the Bundesliga.
Yeah. And so I'm curious what the effect of not just if this partnership with Haaland is it going to be, is it real? Is it really going to happen? Is Jorena going to get a lot of minutes? I hope he does. But Erling Haaland, more than anything, looks like he is he came from Salzburg.
I thought he came from Leipzig.
No. He came from the Austrian Bundesliga.
So he came from Jesse Marsh's team.
Yes. Yeah. Erling Haaland. Because remember, he played against Liverpool and all this stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
So he was scoring buckets. Goals and to do that, to get a hat trick your first game in Bundesliga when everybody's like, oh, you understand, he can do it in Austria or whatever,
and it's almost as good as what Christian Pulisic did, getting a hat trick in the Premier League. America.
So are you saying that Christian Pulisic is better than Erling Haaland because he got a hat trick in the Premier League as opposed to Bundesliga?
Yep. That's what I'm saying. Step your game up, Bundesliga.
No, I think it's
incredible to step in and get a hat trick, no matter who you are, where you are.
Yeah, because there was a lot of rumors of where Erling Haaland would go because I think
he was being looked at by United.
United, the airline.
Probably,
the
airline.
One of my favorites.
Terrible airline.
I could have sworn Cristiano Ronaldo was like trying to recruit him to Juventus, like
to his esports team.
Yeah, he's great in Fortnite, and we really need that kind of talent. Yeah, I know, on our good team.
why sweat so much, dog? Get in here, lose the ass.
Speaking of esports teams, remember Jay Ajayi, from Philadelphia Union, played for Philadelphia, in the EMLS tournament, got waxed beyond belief. It was really, really bad.
Really?
He did not play well at all.
Nice.
So it's a big deal. So look, NFL players need a little practice before.
Know your lane.
Hopefully, best of luck in the next tournament. That was rough. All right. We'll be back with more right after this, everybody.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to the episode. We just want to bring you with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
Us and you, the supporters group of the Cooligans.
That's right, Gully Squad till I die. I'm Gully Squad till I die.
Okay, we love you very much. No, we have a lot more to give the Gully Squad, and this will be a good time to join now because there's going to be a lot of hot content coming at you.
Oh yeah, when we were over in Baltimore, we did a little bit of a roast, so that is going to go over to the Gully Squad members. So if you want to see that video, if you want to check that out, if you didn't get a chance to go to the ISC, all you got to do is join Gully Squad right now.
Exactly. So go to soccercooligans.com, click on Join Gully Squad, and you can join at any level, whatever you want to, whatever you feel you want to support. How much you got? That's really what we want.
What's in them pockets, bro? That should be one of the options. Like, what you got?
Exactly. I mean, it's for exclusive content. You can play us in FIFA. You can get to know the Cooligans. You can have Alexis rate your pizza. So there's a lot of cool things for you. So go join Gully Squad. You'll get a Cooligans pin. There's just too many cool things.
There's a lot of exclusive stuff, but also it's really the lifeblood of our show, and it's what allows us to get to places, and it's what allows us to get those interviews that you get that you wouldn't get anywhere else. So thank you so much to everyone who's ever joined Gully Squad. Our success is because of you. You made this happen. And if you haven't had a chance to join and you're thinking about it, go ahead and do that. All you got to do is go to soccercooligans.com. You can go to /Gully Squad. You can just click on the Join Gully Squad button right on that front page. It would mean the world to us.
We are joined by an incredible guest.
I am so excited to have this person in.
I mean, it's not only just a great guest, but it is a perfect timing, right? Because
absolutely.
This is incredibly serendipitous,
right?
Because this is the rock star of the NWSL right now.
I mean, this is the rock star of soccer. Right,
yes.
Now.
Okay, sure. Well, she's starting a music career. That's why I mentioned the rock.
Yeah. I mean, because at the NWSL draft, she was air guitaring the whole time. I might have made that up. But she is the GM, and as I like to say, the mover and the shaker, especially after this past week, of Sky Blue FC. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the one, the only, unless you're driving, put your hands together for Elise LaHue, everybody!
Elise, hello.
Hello. Huh? I don't know where to start after all that. Thank you for the intro.
Well, tell us when the album is coming out.
Yeah. It's like our league schedule. I can't tell you yet. Okay. To be fair.
Already blowing smoke.
Elise, I've been dying to talk to you because especially the last couple weeks, so much has been going on, not just with Sky Blue FC, but with the league. And you have been involved. You were working with the Red Stars. Like, you've been clearly involved with the league for a long time. Let's probably just start with what happened over the draft. And the NWSL draft was Thursday last week, and a bunch of
you won.
you won
the draft.
You won the, you signed a couple players. Made a lot of trades. Got money. Everything's going. Seems to be going very well. What was that like for you? Handling that whole process.
Tiring.
Okay.
In short, long week, obviously a lot of planning leading up to the draft. And as I say, you've got to be nimble to the process because you never know what's going to happen. You know, we had been in Pugh's a player we had been targeting, and we got to a point where, you know, it looked like the Spirit were going to hold on to her for 2020. Mm-hmm. Came about draft morning that reopened again. So again, being nimble to the process, and it was a big surprise for us to have her come back on the table essentially after we had already moved our number 2 and 3 picks into a different situation. So for us, just really exciting to have that open up, and we jumped at it, took that opportunity. And like you said, I think we're stoked coming out of the draft when you can get your top target and a draftee that we were looking at in Evelyn Vien, pick up Mal Pugh, and then also get some allocation money as well. It's an exciting day.
What, when you go into it, and I don't think I've ever seen this before, regardless of the sport of the league, where you had a reporter embedded with you during that process, where normally most GMs are like, no, you can't hear how the process works. You're like, get in here. This is what I'm eating for breakfast. This is who's texting me. Shouts look to, at this, memes. You know, I heard you big with the memes.
Yeah,
you know
shouts to Meg Linehan, who
did an incredible article.
Yeah, it was a great article. Yeah, she's been on our show before.
She said it was exhausting, so I can't imagine what it was like for you. She was just watching.
I don't know what that means, that she was exhausted by following us, but
meaning it was like, it was liberating. It's like a big process.
It was a lot to follow. I couldn't keep up with most of it, to be honest, and the texts and the calls and everything that relates. When you have the 2 and 3 pick and you kind of already have an idea who's going number one, and you know Portland's not moving that, I think we were, you know, the queens of the ball at that point, having the 2 and 3, and a lot of people were interested in them. So it's terrifying a little bit to have a reporter come in, you know, any of that information you don't want to get out in advance, but I've known Meg for a long time, and she's the best of the best at what she does. So
100%.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. So if anyone was going to tell the story, it's nice to have her as part of it. Yeah.
Now, maybe this is something you don't want to reveal, but how much do you plan ahead, and what is the result with the results of the draft? How close was that to what you thought would happen?
Yeah, I think outside of the Pugh trade, we went in with a plan in terms of the players that we were looking at, and it went pretty true to form, even with that movement. So Evelyn Vien was always our top target as a team. We were lucky to have her in the 5 slot when we picked up. So it went pretty much according to plan outside of that. Maybe a player or two we were looking at that fell off the board because we obviously picked up Pugh in that trade, which we'll happily do. No issues there. Yeah. That's not a problem to be nimble with that. But otherwise, it was rolling with the changes on the day, but we still got the top player we were looking at and a couple of the other players that were high on our list. So we're happy with it.
Incredible. Awesome. Yeah. And I guess I'm curious about the vision based on like on the with the draft and the vision for Sky Blue and how you guys want to play. Like, I've never spoken to a general manager about how to run a team. I'm curious.
We got a lot of ideas. Well, in case you're interested.
I am.
We yell a lot into these cameras.
I'm curious how much of the draft and that day affect, like, when the opportunity to get Mallory Pugh arises, are you like, okay, this might change tactically what we do, but it's Mallory Pugh. We gotta move forward. Like, you have to convince the owner or anything like that.
Sure. I mean, even with like Kaylee Real, player we picked up from Penn State in the draft, we didn't think she'd be available there. And to be honest, we're pretty solid at the center back position. But to have a player of that caliber that dropped to that point in the draft and we didn't expect her to be there, she was somebody we had looked at, but just didn't think she'd be available. So it was one of those cases where it's like, we can't pass up this player right now. We've got to go with it, and we'll make adjustments as we go along with our roster. There's still, you know, you got to get through preseason and see how everybody comes in and how they're doing. And it's a long season ahead of you, so you want to make sure that you've got some choices in each position.
Because those are the two ways to draft, right? You take the best player available, or you take the one that that fits, that best fits your system. Your mindset is pick the best available.
At that point in the draft, yeah.
At that point in the draft. Yeah, ooh, there's so many variables. It's so exciting.
It is.
And I would be trading everything. I mean, I just want to be, you know, making moves.
It's like, just somebody text me, you know?
I need some action, you know? This is why I don't gamble.
It is like a the energy of the draft, especially. I loved Meg's article because it felt like it felt like a movie. It felt like a screenplay for The West Wing. You know what I mean? It felt like a script. It was
Do you plan to come in and yell at everyone at one moment just to ratchet up the excitement? No. Does that happen?
No, we're you know, my crew's pretty laid back, honestly. Freya, our head coach, she and I get along really well. Marsha, our technical advisor, we're just loving what we do. We get along. It's like this banter, right? When we get together and we're talking, obviously we're serious and we're talking about the future of the club, but we all get along so well. So I think it makes it fun and relaxed for us, and we enjoy the process. And
what if you got to fire somebody? Everyone can't be your friend.
that's true. Yeah. Hopefully won't get to that point.
Obviously, hopefully not.
But I think, you know, some of the humor came across hopefully in the article.
Yeah, 100%.
We're usually bantering and joking. We've got to keep it, when you're under that much stress in the process, you've got to keep it lighthearted. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Now the NWSL has this sort of allocation money, right? But it's very different than what some of the fans might know from MLS. So how exactly does the allocation money work? Is that money that comes from the league and then you're allowed to use that? Are you allowed to sort of, you've traded for that in some instances, right? How are you allowed to say how much each team gets?
I believe it's public. We have a $300,000 we can put in. So that's essentially out of our own salary cap.
Right.
It's, you know, our own money we'd be spending above and beyond the regular salary caps. There's certain players that qualify for allocation money that we could use that pool of $300 on, but you can also trade it to other teams. So that's where we ended up getting some allocation money in this draft.
And what are the characteristics of the players that you can use it on?
It's like international players. And then there's, you know, a list of bullet points that if a player meets a certain number of them, like how many national team caps they've had, how long they've been in the league, things like that.
OK,
do you consider the marketability? And this is league wide. This doesn't have to be Sky Blue FC. A GM, do you have to consider the marketability of the player? Like at any point, you'd be like, yo, what do their Instagram followers look like? I mean, it's kind of a joke, but at the same time, that's important for a growing league is how, like we were talking to the GM, or not the GM, the vice president of Bayern Munich. And he was like, yeah, when we brought in Philippe Coutinho, he had more followers than we did as a club. That became important for us. Is that something you consider? Because that is something that's it's a big, strong set of the player pool that NWSL pulls from.
Yeah, I think obviously the national team players have typically a larger following. They're stars in virtue of the media that they get. So, you know, bringing in a player even like Mal Pugh, obviously she's going to have a lot more followers than a typical player within the league. I think the rest of the players that are non-national team players don't often get as much attention unless they play for another national team. So certainly we look at it, but I think it's also our responsibility to make sure that fans know our roster top to bottom and get to know our players. I feel a deep responsibility to put them out there and make sure we're doing our part.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite things about you and what you do, because you also have a great Twitter account, and you are very vocal, and you connect with a lot of the fans. But one
You're
of the
very
things,
online,
I'm online. Yeah.
It's the future, I promise. Yeah.
But you see a lot of AOL CDs, got a couple thousand hours,
just giving them out at games. Hey,
you take one, huh? Email me.
But no, you posted recently about getting help for the players about, you know, their websites, building websites and things like that. And just hearing your feeling like you have a deep responsibility to the players to kind of help them do that and handle that as part of, like, it's sort of becoming a part of their job. So, like, is this a common general manager role? Right. It doesn't seem like that's necessarily the case, but I feel like you're doing a service not to just the league, but for the sport as well.
Yeah, I think I have to apologize to all the people that reached out offering help. I got so inundated by the community.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so great about women's soccer. It is such a tight-knit community, and
absolutely,
so many people are willing to help that all you got to do is put the word out there. So I apologize to all the people I haven't responded to yet, because I had so many people reach out saying they wanted to help the players. And I've talked to several of them, as many as I could before the draft. But yeah, I feel like if you just put things out there, folks want to help the players. They want to be involved. They want to see see this sport grow and this league grow. So for me, being transparent, being open, using social media as a tool to interact with fans, I think is really important, especially on a team like Sky Blue. We're really trying to get back to the community and make sure that they feel like this is their club. I always say I'm just a conduit. You know, I'm just in a role where I'm here to serve the fans and to make sure that they know this is their club and they have a big say in where it goes.
Yeah, I want to say I don't agree that you're just a conduit, because you've done something that I don't think I've seen. When we first went to the draft, the feeling around Sky Blue compared to where it is now.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, it's been huge. The jump, the feeling behind the club. You went from a player saying they didn't want to play at Sky Blue to now it's the hot spot. That's where people want to go. How did you turn that around? Give yourself some credit. Bruise yourself on the shoulder blade by patting yourself on the back.
You did it all yourself.
It's only you.
It's all me.
Yeah. You heard it here first. No, like how did that happen? And if it wasn't just you, that's fine. But how? How is it that somehow you were able to turn around the perception around this club so quickly? Because it really is now. Now you're at Rebel Arena for the full year. Everything is so exciting and fresh and new.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I came in, Tammy Murphy, one of our owners, she had been sort of a silent owner. She came in at the same time I did. And I think it was really just a matter of saying, like, hey, here's the things I see. Here's where Sky Blue needs to improve. And she said, OK, let's do it. Let's figure it out. So having a partner to go in through this process that was on the ownership level that said, you know, maybe we didn't realize the club was so far behind where the rest of the league was, and going, we want to be the preeminent club in NWSL and one of the top clubs in the world, and seeing that vision. Mm-hmm. So I think it's one thing for me to say these are the things we need to do, but having the backing behind it to be able to do that is the second part of it. So definitely have to give our owners, and especially Tammy, who's the First Lady of New Jersey, credit for stepping up to this with me in this process. And they've let me run a bit. I think it probably scares them sometimes, certainly when I do the behind the scenes articles. And I'm pretty transparent. I'm very open. I've been slapped on the wrist many times.
Elise, what are all these drones following you? It's a thing we're doing.
I just say, don't worry, the fans are going to love it. It's right? But we always said it was gaining back the trust of the fans. That was it. That was our goal as a front office staff. And I know that sounds like a simple statement, but it permeated everything we did, was gaining back the trust of the fans. So I hope in everything we did as a front office at Sky Blue that we showed that, and that's what we were trying to do, and we're earning it back. And I say we're still in process. It's not done. I still have a long way to go. I have a lot more goals to reach at Sky Blue. So we're going to keep plugging along, and again, having the owner's support to do that is integral in that process.
And we should, Alexis mentioned it briefly, but moving to Rebel Arena permanently, wild. I mean, this is a huge move. And you had done, I believe, 2 games last season. We went to the first one and it was incredible. There was tons of people there. How the hell did this happen? Right. Like I know it took a lot of work. The speculation was like that. I guess it was a difficult thing to make happen, or that maybe Red Bull weren't super interested or intrigued at first. I don't know the details, but was it a bigger mountain to climb than we may know, like than the public knows?
And also, you could lie and make it seem like you did an amazing thing. You know what I mean? Feel free.
Yeah, all alone. It was me. Yeah. No, when I came in as interim GM last April with Tammy, one of my targets was getting into Red Bull Arena and getting in that season, which obviously is difficult once your schedule's been announced and right. You already have everything set. But I was determined that we were going to get in that season, at least to sample it, because I knew we needed to look towards the next venue for 2020. So the process started basically right when I came in, and it certainly wasn't a quick process when your schedule's already out and you've got everything planned. It can be very difficult. Red Bull's schedule was obviously set. So it took a lot of conversations between both Tammy and I with Red Bull, and luckily they became willing partners in the process to sort of let us sample it and to come in and give it a try. And you know, I believe we had great success on the first game, and that proved we could come back and do it again. You know, we did those games on really short notice. I think we had about 12 days to sell tickets, so to get just over 9,000 for one, just over 8,000 for the other, to me showed that the community was ready for us to be there and to be, you know, closer to New York City in a more densely populated area. So those were sort of our proving grounds to show that we could do this. We could do this for a whole season. And I think it helped Red Bull to have that sampling with us as well.
Yeah.
How far? Because, I mean, you're now close to where I grew up. I grew up in Newark, mm-hmm. New Jersey. Right. And the way I look at it is, like, I feel like not enough is done to reach some of those communities like Newark, New Jersey. When you look at Red Bull and you look at NYCFC, they're starting to do those things. But when you look at NWSL, I feel like NWSL, especially Sky Blue, you're so much closer to the community. And I think it's because it feels like much more of a personal connection with the fans. How close do you think NWSL clubs are to academies? And is that something you're looking for in the future? I know NYCFC has a girls academy. How close do you think, let's say, Sky Blue is to having a Sky Blue academy?
Yeah, we haven't had to really take it on ourselves, but around the league, you're seeing teams start to build their own academies and have good success with that. For us, we've had some partners through the years, and New York Soccer Club is one of our current partners through the DA, the Girls Development Academy. So we've been able to partner with existing clubs, and that makes more sense for us now that we're in a transitionary and growing phase. So I can obviously focus on other aspects of the business. I think long term, the league would like us, you know, to have our own academy. But for right now, I love having the local partners we have, and it allows us to integrate with a lot of youth teams and youth clubs who obviously through the years have been the bread and butter of our league, you know, families and their kids that play soccer. But I think you've also seen we're growing as a league and expanding and having Budweiser come on as a partner. And for us, we just had our first adult soccer camp. I know you guys weren't able to attend, so we're going to have another one. So
I'll be there.
We'll have you at the next one.
What's the MT situation?
we had a trainer there. Yeah. We did. We know better.
Yeah. You know? Paddles nearby. Yeah.
I'm curious about a couple of things. We should talk about your start into this and getting into soccer and it's tough. I know I've seen you talk about you used to be a coach. You were also the GM for the Chicago Red Stars. While we were in Baltimore, we interviewed Peter Wilt, and he said that he gave you your first internship. One of your early ones, which is incredible. So how did you get here? You know, how did it all start?
Yeah, I mean, picture back. It was, I went back and got my MBA because I knew a women's pro league was coming. So I was just biding time a bit and did some coaching, enjoyed it. But I knew I wanted to go into the business side of women's soccer. So
MBA in what?
What's that?
What was your MBA in?
Just a general business with a focus on entrepreneurship. Okay. Yeah, so
we're starting to piece together, right? Such a good negotiator.
Seeing the trends there in business for sure. But I say I just stalked the Chicago team. I knew they were going to get a team. This was back, 2007, 2008. Kept an eye on them. They had a really terrible website with one page and no contact info. So I was just waiting until the contact info, refreshing every day.
Hopefully they update their GeoCities site,
It was. So when the contact info went up, I reached out and said, hey, if you need a volunteer or an intern. And I got a call from Marsha McDermott, was the general manager at the time, and Peter Wilt was the president, and they said, okay, come in. So it was the start to my career was getting to sit at a table with those two every day and just do whatever they said, but also just listening and learning from them, which, you know, is obviously invaluable. And from there, I became a ticket sales account rep and just worked my way up from there.
I mean, what a group to listen in on and learn from, especially someone like Peter Wilt, who's like, I think he actually said he started more pro teams than anyone else in history.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Yeah. Looking around.
And he started your career. And now look at where you are. And I feel like you're just going to keep going. But what was the other question? You had mentioned that the owner, Tammy, is the first woman of New Jersey.
The first lady.
She's
not the first woman.
First woman ever.
She's one of them.
Yeah, very impressive.
There's a few.
She's the first woman ever in New Jersey. She's kept up pretty well. But she really is the first lady, right?
She is.
Yes. That's crazy. I thought you were just throwing that in there. Owner, like Eve is the first lady of Rough Riders. Like, no, you really mean this.
Yeah, no, obviously it keeps a very busy schedule, but she was really dedicated and put in the work to help turn the club around with me. And she's just an integral part in providing the resources and the support that I needed along the way. And she's still heavily involved, obviously. So it's been tremendous to be able to work with her. And obviously she's brilliant in and of herself. So having the opportunity to work with her has been really great for me.
When you got the Sky Blue job came up, and obviously you must have, when you heard about it, you were like, okay, I don't know. Let me be sure what I'm getting myself into. What was that? What was your impression? And did you really feel like, I think I can turn it around quickly?
Yeah, I had, most people don't know, I had been with, came to the club about a year before I became the interim GM.
Right.
So I'd been working in the background, just kind of focused on revenue and just really kind of auditing operations from behind the scenes and taking a look at things. So I had been through the whole ride of, you know, when things kind of blew up in the media and really listening to the players and kind of getting an ear to the ground and seeing what was happening. So, you know, when Tammy came and asked if I would, you know, take over in the interim GM role, obviously it was something that I had seen enough of the club by that point to kind of have an understanding on what I thought it could be and also some of the challenges that it had. And, you know, I'm older than I look. I've been around a while in women's pro soccer. Obviously was the GM in Chicago for 5 years. So I had a pretty good idea and had been used to working in some larger markets. So I felt like I might be able to do something with it. So
do you ever question if it was too high of a hurdle to
Yes. Yes.
Because I mean, for those who may not be following, at the time that you officially took over, It was sort of rough state. It was like it became newsworthy because of how bad it was, or how bad sort of like the feeling around the situation was. And it seemed like something that could be taken care of piece by piece. It wasn't like this overwhelmingly thing where like people were leaving the club left and right, but it was a situation that was hard to cover. And you certainly looked at that and you felt like, I think I got this.
Yeah, I think, again, one conversation with Tammy and I said, she gets it. She's in it. She's going to do this. And I said, okay, we'll give this a try together. I believed in her and I believed what she had to say about helping propel this club forward. And I felt like I had enough background knowledge on the league and women's soccer. And also just my interest in the fans, I think, was really crucial to the Sky Blue experience and turning the club around. Because I think that's what was missing for so long is the fans really feeling the love and feeling like it's their club and they're a part of it and they have a voice. And that's something that's so important to me. So I think we were a good combination of Tammy and obviously the business side and her willingness to really wrangle the owners and get them to push forward. And then, you know, me really wanting to embrace the fans and increase the standards for the players as well.
Yeah, we call Tammy when we need help? Just a little pep
she's,
talk.
She's busy.
You are the first woman. Yeah.
So. Well, hello, you're on the phone with the 1 millionth man of Brooklyn.
I'm curious about that the issues that Sky Blue was facing were, I guess specifically last year, were probably a little bit like rougher than probably some of the other teams dealt with. But as far as league wide, do you feel like these issues when it comes to accommodations, when it comes to housing, how do you feel like it's being handled in the NWSL in general?
Yeah, I think we saw a huge transition in the owners in the last couple months, and without having a better name, they've been calling it NWSL 2.0 in terms of their greater investment. We saw the salaries have gone up for players, increasing the basement salary, increasing the max salary, adding allocation money. We're now doing housing year round for players. So I've seen the owners take a greater investment. You know, they hired Octagon to look at our commercial rights, make sure that we're getting on the right broadcast station, looking at all of our partners and sponsors. So I think they've really taken a deep look at the league, increased the standards for the players, which is where you have to start. Make sure we do that. And now looking at all the business operations, obviously we have a commissioner coming in soon. So there's a lot of exciting changes going on in the league right now. And I think it doesn't start without all the owners really going into a deeper investment and wanting to see this push forward.
Is it? Oh, go for it.
I was going to say, do you think a lot of people make a lot of the bump after the World Cup? You know, I don't know. Something about this doesn't feel like it's just the World Cup bounce or the post World Cup bounce. What are your feelings on that?
Yeah, I think without going too feminist on your show, but we're in the midst of a pretty
comedy. We ride with you. No, we are as well. So go for it.
I think we're just in a really deep cultural moment right now, especially for women with Me Too and Women's March and everything, even the national team talking about pay equity. There's a lot of conversations right now from a cultural standpoint going on around women. So I think women's sports has just been able to tap into this greater cultural moment. So I say winning the World Cup obviously is tremendous and it helps from a media perspective to get more eyeballs on it. But this does feel a lot bigger than just a World Cup win. We're talking about a lot bigger issues for women right now.
Absolutely. I mean, look at how the royal wedding, the Crashland wedding. Yeah. Look at the news that made. That wasn't just a World Cup bounce. And we talked about it because we wanted to get invited.
we're learning so much. And I want to ask a couple more things because
we're learning how much we could never be GMs.
Exactly. But we don't have MBAs. So we got to start there. But I did want to ask about the fact, it's also league wide, you are one of two female general managers, and there's also only one female head coach in NWSL right now. I you know, been following you on Twitter for like I believe like about a year. You are someone who is not just, you know, a GM, right? I mean, without a doubt, you, I feel like you are starting to become this role model for a lot of people, not just women, just a lot of people in sports. Do you feel any sense of pressure or responsibility for I don't want to say necessarily a movement per se, but like about doing things to kind of showing everyone what can be done by women in the league?
Yeah, no, thanks for saying that. But I think for me, it's just trying to do the right thing and being a nice person. I try to keep things super simple.
See, Alexis?
Oh, yeah.
Is that all you have to do?
That's the key. Yeah.
Well, I refuse to do it.
No, I think, you know, I've always believed in the see it, be it model, right? So if there's no women in these high level roles, how are especially young women, or not even talking about youth, but women that are in college now that want to see themselves in these roles, I think it's important that they see somebody. I think it's also why, for me, transparency and openness and being open on social is really important to have that communication, because, you know, there's no model I'm following. I'm making it up as I go, as much as anybody else, to be fair. So I'm waiting patiently for the next, you know, young woman to come in and do a better job than I am, or the next player to come in and be a general manager and take over and do a much better job than I've ever done. So for me, it's just about being authentic and keep it simple with the fans and be as open as you can in the process.
And
I like to be mean while complicating things.
make it messy.
Really shake it up. Yeah.
You didn't play professionally, and a lot of general managers often are. Was that ever an issue in any interview or anything like that? Like about questioning how much, you know, quote unquote, you knew about the game?
I just make sure I surround myself with a good technical advisor. So, okay. You know, it's always, I think, as they always said, a good leader will surround themselves with somebody smarter than them in every position. So I think that's most important. So I don't have to be the expert on all things. So luckily, Marcia McDermott's our technical advisor. And I mentioned her before as my first boss and sort of my role model as a GM. And now I'm in a position where I'm able to hire her to work with me. So we get to continue our careers together, which is exciting. So, no, I've never had an issue with that along the way. I think, again, there hasn't been many women's pro leagues. So the reality is there's not that many women that have played professionally, just if we're looking at the numbers through the years, regardless.
Yeah. And okay, so we have a couple of questions from our Gully Squad members who are also huge fans of you. And I want to start with this one. This is from Laura McCoy, who I believe you met at the party that we had in North Carolina. Yeah. But she has specifically said, how is the allocation money being used besides on player salaries? And she also adds a note. She says, tell her she is an epic GM and that I love how she turned her club around.
Well, thank you for that. In terms of using allocation money, it's when you get allocation money traded, you have a freedom to use it how you want, essentially. So, you know, for us, we're still active in the international market and we're looking. We think that's sort of the next step for us. The timing is a little tough from the time that it was announced we would be getting allocation money and could go get, you know, players maybe beyond $42,000 a year, $45,000 a year. It's kind of late in the process. Obviously, a lot of the international and European teams especially have players locked into multi-year contracts. So we're certainly looking, but the timing of it all makes it difficult for this season. But we're certainly looking in the international market, and I'm going to, you know, keep my piggy bank on hand for looking for those types of players. For,
an NWSL $40 million transfer fee. That'd be great.
That'd be huge.
Yeah, that'd be great.
What? This is from Peter Carcio, who's another member of Gully Elite Squad. Shouts to Peter. He said, what kind of challenges does Elise face as a manager when some players do double duty between NWSL and the Aussie W League? And she said, not sure if that's applicable for Sky Blue players, but he knows that Rachel Hill has done that before, who's a UConn grad who moved from Orlando to Chicago this offseason.
Yeah, no, thanks for the question, Peter. I think when I was in Chicago, we had a lot of players that would go down to the W League and play. And I think over time, one of the bigger challenges was just the fatigue, right? You go from our season straight into the W League season, and you essentially end up, you start playing year round. So I think fatigue was the biggest challenge as a manager to manage the process of those players that were just not getting a break at all. And I think over the years, we started to see some injuries from fatigue from that multi-league process. But the W League has been great for the development of a lot of players in the off season and give them a chance to continue to hone their skills.
Yeah, there's you also worked in the WNBA as well. And I had just seen a Players Tribune, the interview with Ali Krieger, Ashton Harris, and I think Brianna Stewart, right? Mm-hmm. And she had mentioned that, you know, people question when the players play in Russia or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, why wouldn't I play in Russia? How am I? That's where I will make my money. So it's not, you really, it's difficult. You can't fault the player because they're not going to make much money in the league that they're currently in.
You gotta go get that bag.
Exactly. You gotta get that bag. So you gotta, at least you gotta tell me, go get that bag.
Have the real bag behind it.
I would love to hear Elise say, go get that bag.
it's very popular in Iowa.
So we got another question from Mike Chiara. He says, what's the biggest challenge of being the general manager of a soccer club? Is there one move you regret doing or wish you pulled the trigger on?
I think one of the biggest challenges for me, especially over the last season, we were not only winning back the trust of the fans, but our own players as well. And in that, that's a long process to navigate. Sure. And the proof is in the pudding, right? You can tell them something, but they've got to see it, you know. So and I'm never one to make any false promises. So I always take the same approach with fans as I do with my own team and my own players. And I think in that process, you know, it's a big roster. It's a lot of players to communicate with. And while I was managing the players and their expectations, I'm also out trying to navigate our own fans and bring them back into the fray. So I think for me as a manager, that was a good learning lesson for me, was that it just comes down to time, and you've got to really put the effort into each and every individual person. You know, that goes for my front office staff, that goes for players. Everybody needs to feel the love all the time. I think that's really important. So making sure you take that time to really appreciate each and every person, no matter whether they're out with an injury for the whole season or whether they're a starter, you know, treating all the players equally and making sure that they get the attention that they need in this process. I think, again, last season with it being so hectic and so much going on, that was one area that I wish I had done better on. But I'm learning every year as I go.
Okay. All right.
You ever walk around and say, yeah, I'm a, because people keep calling you a badass. Do you ever think to yourself, like, yeah. Be honest. Not once. You ever looked in the mirror and like,
yeah,
oh, you got it.
I give myself pep speeches. I still have a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to pep myself up every now and then.
New sign for the bag. Get the bag. And then I'm a badass.
Let's talk about some of the players that are coming in. And I don't have a list in front of me, but I know. So I want to ask two questions. One about the players that are coming in and some of the players that are leaving. Mm-hmm. So we know Midge Purse from Portland Thorns, mm-hmm. Obviously Mallory Pugh, and then some of the draft picks. I forgot, Vienz.
Yep.
Okay, Evelyn Vienz, right?
Evelyn Vienz.
Who else am I missing? There were a couple more moves.
UCLA.
Anumanu. As yep. well, Ifeoma.
Yep. So we traded for her. She's been in the league for a few years, so really excited to have her come right. in as well.
From Rain.
And had three other draftees. We were able to still get somebody in every round, which was exciting with all of our trades we had, to still be able to pick up four players. So Kaylee Real from Penn State as well. Picked up a goalkeeper and a local Rutgers player with the number four as well. So, yeah, it was a
does your other goalkeeper day. Have weird fears of similar yeah. to Kaylin Sheridan's button fear.
Not that I know of yet, but we'll have her on to find out.
Zippers. Like, I can't. What are you going to do? Hook and eyes? Like, yeah. You got to pick one. All right, guys.
Yes.
Yeah. So some of those plays. So I'm curious about what you expect the team to look like and mm-hmm. as far as what kind of a strategy and tactically how the team's going to play.
Yeah, I mean, I say having a new coach come in, even though Freya was our interim coach at the end of the year, but mm-hmm. that was the last 6 weeks. At that point, it's a little bit of damage control as a sure. as a coach coming in. You just want to end the year on a good note. You're not coming in to switch the whole formation and change things up. So we actually had an off season now where Freya can really implement a plan, and she and I could talk through what we want to look like and how we want to approach the game. And obviously that's allowed us to flip the roster a little bit and add some more talent to it that we think is going to help us, have a more exciting brand of soccer, hopefully put some more goals in the net. So I think with all of our additions, we've been able to basically improve ourselves across every position, which we're excited about. As I mentioned, we picked up a series of positions through the draft and through trades and picked up some speed, a little more fierceness with McCall Zerboni in the midfield. She's a veteran player that's been around for a while. So
she just got a little courage. They obviously just won.
Title. She's a winner. She's been on winning teams for a long time and adds a little bite in the midfield, which is something I think we need. So we're excited. The attributes we were looking for, we've been able to pick up, and obviously we've got to go out there and perform now, but we're excited about what we're going into.
And what influence does Carly Lloyd have over all these decisions? Because sometimes, like LeBron James, even though he's not the GM or anything, but everybody's like, if LeBron's not happy, this move is not really going forward. Yeah. But I'm curious, how much influence Carly Lloyd had on a lot of these decisions?
Because she's very intense. One of the most intense athletes I've ever come across.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I've known Carly a long time. We actually were together in Chicago many years ago when I was in a different role. So I've known Carly for a long time and have a great relationship with her. And she's, somebody that I trust to talk to, obviously, as part of the game. So, when we're looking to make some of these trades, I do talk to her and make sure that she thinks it's a fit as well. She's not going to have a final say in every decision, obviously, but with her being one of our captains and a leader, and just with the career that she's had, that's highly important to us. And a player like Mal Pugh coming in, that's somebody that Carly is absolutely excited about to come in. Believes that Mal has so much potential still to reach, and that's, I think, great. Carly as a veteran player that's later in her career, and I say, I don't use near the end of her career because she has bionic knees and these amazing ice packs. She's going to go forever. Yeah. Might have another 5 years at Carly. But she's excited also to build a relationship with the younger players and to guide them. So I think we've got such a great mix of old and young on our team, and veterans that just a great set of personalities. I think that's really going to mesh well.
That's great. Yeah. I would take a final say from Carly Lloyd. I mean, she could decide my entire life. If Carly Lloyd was like, Rebel Arena, no Doritos. That's the rule.
But you heard Carly, right? Get him off the shelf. Do you think Carly she would be more of a coach or more of a GM? You think she'd be more front office or?
That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know. She doesn't think that way because she's got so many years left to play, right? It's like she's all 100. She's 100% at what she's doing, so she's in it to play.
Do both jobs and play.
To be fair,
she's doing trades in the middle of a World Cup game. Elise LaHue, absolutely incredible conversation so far. One of the things that pops up when it comes to women's soccer is times are changing right now, but in the past, obviously, not a great way to earn a lot of money. Right, it was very difficult to earn a lot of money at the time. In fact, one story came up of Stephanie McCaffrey, who I believe there was a little bit of overlap there with Chicago with you. She has said that she's going into finance, and her goal, the only reason she's going in there, is to earn enough money to buy a women's soccer team in the NWSL. When you view that, when you first watch that, or when you first read that, I should say, the first thing that popped into my mind is like, man, that sucks that she has to do that mm-hmm. she didn't make enough money in her career to be able to just do that right away, or at least be a partner in, like, so you see some of the NBA players and NFL players doing. But it's also like, what a great thing that you see someone who's like willing to go out and work just as hard to sort of get in the league, someone who really believes in the league, someone who really is pushing for the league. When you see that, what are your thoughts? And what do you think of sort of some of these former players starting to become owners or wanting to become owners?
Yeah, I mean, my first thought's, hell yeah. yeah. You know, you gotta, I think one, having a goal and then putting it out into the world. That's what I always say when I have interns, you know, if you know what you want to do, put it out into the world for as many people to hear, because you never know who's going to help you along the way as part of the process. So, you know, when I walked into, you know, Peter Wilt and Marsha McDermott for the first day, I told Marsha I wanted her job, which was probably a bold sentiment. I probably could have worded it differently.
You're fired.
Yeah, it was just,
give me your job.
They did let me volunteer for free for a few months after that still. So that was good. But yeah, I think it's to be bold. If you know what you want to do, put it out into the world. And I think it's absolutely, she's so bright. I think she's tremendous. I have no doubt she's going to own a team. And, you know, if I'm still kicking around, I hope I can work for it one day.
Okay. We have another question from the Gully Squad. This is from Sean Forsyth. He asks, now that we are seeing some international NWSL stars move to English clubs, are you starting to feel the pressure that the success of the NWSL has brought to women's soccer across the world? And like, and how will you cope with the greater competition abroad?
No, I love it. I think the increased standard across the world and the increased investment in the sport just puts more pressure on us to do better. And I think that's really important. If we're the pinnacle league, and I still think from a competition standpoint, we absolutely are, and we are the best league in the world. But when other leagues are going to continue to raise the bar, that's going to help us to raise the bar. So this competition is a good thing, and it's a good thing for players. If they've got other opportunities to make money overseas, it's going to make us have to raise the standard of what we can provide to them here at home. So I think it's good for everybody. And, you know, fans having the accessibility to tune in now to watch games in England and elsewhere, watch games in Australia in the W League. I think all of this is just a positive for women's soccer.
All right. He did ask another question. He said,
one only.
Sorry, Sean. Sorry.
I can't help you, buddy.
Yeah. You're going to get kicked out of the Gully Squad.
Can you please give Midge back? Pretty please.
He so did say pretty please. Let's start there.
I said one only.
No comment.
Questionably.
You know what? It's Midge Purse, which is one of the greatest names I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Midge Purse.
Yeah. It sounds authoritative. When you look at some of the rumors of LAFC trying to get a women's team, and like Mia Hamm is there, right? So I'm sure that's a question. And we saw LAFC Slammers do really well at the IFC.
ICC.
ICC. Sorry, the ICC.
Great channel, futures. IFC
also. Maybe you watched it on there illegally. We saw that. And, you know, Atlanta United talking about wanting to have a women's team. What do you think about these sort of MLS clubs wanting to have a women's team? And what seems to be, there seems to be a bit of a holdup. I don't know if you're able to talk about that, but what do you think some of the holdup is? And do you think that that's like a positive for the future?
Yeah, I mean, tremendous amount of interest from a lot of clubs. Obviously, you named two of the bigger cities that have MLS clubs that may show some interest. But there's a lot of teams around the country beyond that have an interest, in cities that have an interest. I think for us as a league, we got to figure out what's the number we're trying to get to, because at some point we may run out of opportunities to bring new teams in if we want to keep the league in a place of parity and make sure that we've got a good standard across the league. So whether that's 14 teams or 16 teams, I think it starts with us deciding what that number is and then figuring out who's going to be the next five cities that come into this league. So it's awesome to see the interest. Obviously, that's important for us. And there's some really, really solid ownership groups on the table. So I think over the next year, 2 years, we're going to see tremendous growth for our league.
Thank you, Elise.
You did it, Elise.
I did it. Real victory.
Elise, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you may want to plug? Where can people get season tickets for Sky Blue FC and support the NWSL?
.com. Okay. SkyBlueFC.com. Yes, we've doubled our season tickets, so obviously a big turnout. We're excited. We want to double that number from here, so looking forward to the continued support. And you know, a big shout out to Cloud9, our supporters group that's been with us through thick and thin.
All right,
and
yeah,
excited to have got the scarf right over there.
And I can tell you as well, I will be purchasing season tickets for the Sky Blue FC, so
I'll
you'll
get
see
my
me.
Credit card machine out of my bag. We'll make it happen right here.
Damn. Send me after the game. Can I Venmo you?
All right, so at least we always wrap the show very fun way. So again, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans, at Football Sports, and make sure you follow Elise LeHue on Twitter. So with that said, for Elise LeHue, my name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. And for Elise LeHue, my name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cool